This message is sponsored by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/online privacy protection. Last one for you, Joe Mixon. Did the league fine you for flipping a coin on the field?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
They did.
Okay. How much was the fine, if you don't mind me asking?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
13 racks or something like that.
13 racks.
I probably had the most shiniest quarter you can pull out.
Earlier on the show, ESPN NFL analyst Louis Riddick. Eagles tight end Dallas Goedert. Still to come, Los Angeles Dodgers radio announcer Charlie Steiner. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, indeed. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show live on the Roku channel is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on this show. We've got lots to talk about over the next hour before we beat it on down the line for Friday's program. And then, of course, we re-air on the Roku channel, channel 210, as soon as this hour is over. We already chatted with Louis Riddick of ESPN in hour number one. Dallas Goedert of the Philadelphia Eagles in hour number two. If you missed it, guess what? We re-air on channel 210 as soon as this hour is over. We're live on Sirius XM Odyssey, this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate smart enough to have us as well. 844-204-RICH, number to dial, as I mentioned. And I turn to my right and I see a longtime friend who's kind enough to hang out with us here in studio in Los Angeles, California, in hour number three, my longtime colleague and now one of the voices of the Los Angeles Dodgers, Charlie Steiner. Good to see you, Charlie.
Good to see you, Rich.
And it's just really funny how life works, because it just dawned on me the other day that it was the 30-year anniversary. It crossed my timeline on Twitter of Carl Lewis singing the national anthem 30 years ago. And then the day after your, if you will, coverage of it on SportsCenter, leading to one of the greatest giggle fits of all time. And that went totally viral on Twitter. And then you text me like 2 days later, and I'm like, let's come in and let's chop it up. And now here you are. It's amazing.
Well, first, my ankle is good.
Okay. Did you ever broadcast with a high ankle sprain, Charlie? Did you ever do that? Has that ever happened to you? Okay.
The great ones gut it out. You play in pain, as you did with your ACL. I mean,
yes.
What you have to do. Yep. If you're going to make it in this business with any sort of longevity, you just tee it up, let her rip, and my ankle is good to go.
I love it. Fantastic.
I played Little League ball, central proctology. On Long Island.
And that's quite a sponsorship right there.
Yes, it was.
That was it?
Yes, and we were.
You finished last?
Yes. We didn't win a game.
The rear?
Didn't win a game.
You were poopy?
We got our asses kicked every day.
Here you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Oh, I guess while we're on that subject matter,
good transition.
No, because you used a line years ago that you referred to one of the producers at the Worldwide Leader in Sports, whose work you didn't really appreciate, to be honest. You said somebody that he couldn't find his own ass if you handed him a box of Charmin and both his hands.
Box of Charmin and a GPS. And as I recall,
one of the greatest lines ever.
As I recall, there was nobody who came to his defense.
It was one of the greatest lines. I'm like, he couldn't find his own ass if you gave him a box of Charmin in both his hands. That's what you said. And it was really just funny. At any rate, when you saw the fact that it's been 30 years since your...
It blew me away. Actually, I got a text the night before from one of the producers who was, in fact, quite good. Jerry Matalov. Jerry was, in fact, the producer of that show that night. And so I got a text the night before notifying me it was the 30th anniversary, which was the first. And then it was like, geez. And then you're like Citizen Kane. You put it out into the internet world.
Yes.
And it just, it took off.
It did.
I was
love it still.
Astonished.
People still love it. So when you
heard Carl Lewis's walk me through when this hit the SportsCenter newsroom.
It began that morning.
Yeah.
I was driving in to Bristol. We had a 7 o'clock show, and inexplicably, we had editorial meetings at 10 a.m. for no apparent reason other than. And so we're sitting around, and Jack Edwards happened to be anchoring with me that night. Yes. Normally, it was Bob and Robin.
Yeah.
So anyway, Jack unmercifully drew the short straw that night, apparently. So I'm driving in, and I hear on WFAN like 10 seconds of this thing. And it's this editorial meeting, we just talk about what we're going to talk about that night.
Yes.
And I told him, I heard this thing. Maybe we have video of it. Okay. So somebody goes downstairs, and damned if there wasn't video of the whole thing. And they used to give me what they called the kicker, the last story of the show, which was, you know,
7:58 in the evening, right, after a 7 o'clock show.
That's exactly right.
Right.
And so try to end on a upbeat. And so now we see the whole thing. So it's like, this is god awful, but there's something that we can do with this. And, you know, going in, basically, we're going to condense it for your own good. Here it is. Now, in the old days at ESPN, before there were offices and stuff, we had these little,
cubicles, right?
Cubicles, that's right. The word.
Yeah.
And my cubicle happened to be next to a bank of audio, back when they threw in cartridges.
Yes, that's right.
And so...
Right?
Cart machines.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Where you put the cartridge.
Yep.
And so now people are hearing about this all day. And they walk in and say, we got to hear this Carl Lewis thing. And I'm typing the show for that night. And I probably heard it 25, 30 times. And I'm thinking.
The uh-oh sells it.
The uh-oh sells it. And so now I'm laughing every time. And I'm figuring by 7:58 or whatever time it was, I would have been laughed out.
No doubt.
You would think. Well, it didn't turn out that way. So, ladies and gentlemen, our national anthem, and people watch it. Now, in the studio... which was considerably smaller than your spacious digs here.
Yeah.
We had three cameramen, had a stage manager,
yeah,
and a guy who ran the
prompter. The prompter operator.
And Jack. Now they are all collectively losing it, and I am kind of leading the parade. And I'm thinking, well, okay, by the time it is over, I'll be fine. I wasn't.
You were not laughed out, and I think you just gave the voice of what everybody at home was doing.
I said to somebody, it was like being in the back row when a substitute teacher was in, and you're holding it in, and you're holding it in until you can't, and 2 minutes later you're in the principal's office. Well, you know. Boogers are flying out of my nose, spits coming out of my, and I have lost it. And now I'm thinking, as I'm embarrassing myself, can I save this? And I lean back in the chair, and I don't know where it came from, but the Francis Scott off-key line, it was like intervention from God.
That wasn't scripted? That literally...
It popped into my head as I'm leaning back.
Wow.
Francis Scott off-key.
And so, I mean, it was kick-saving a beauty.
That's right.
And so now...
Oh, my gosh.
Perfect.
And so now the show is over. And I'm thinking, so is my career. And we used to go upstairs into that tiny little newsroom, and you would remove your IFB.
Yes.
You put it, we didn't have a spacious desk or anything. You had a drawer.
Yeah.
And you put it in the drawer. So I'm walking into the room. The entire newsroom is hysterically laughing. But it was the longest walk from the studio to the newsroom because I'm thinking, I'm dead. I'm fired.
You have no
this
idea
is
how
over.
It's received. Yeah,
I'm over.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then they are all laughing. And at the end of the day, it turned out all right. And that night, I think Keith and Dan did the 11th.
Yeah.
They replayed the entire segment from the 7th.
Of you?
Yes,
of you?
The entire thing.
So the big show.
The big show. I was the big show part two. And.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and now 30 years have come and gone.
Yeah.
And Carl Lewis was one of the elite athletes of the 20th century.
There's no question.
He was drafted in the 10th round in 1984 in the NBA.
I didn't know that.
And he, sadly, for a generation, this is what people think about for Carl.
Uh-oh.
And I really feel awful about that.
Uh-oh.
But it wasn't my fault. Uh-oh. It really wasn't my fault.
The uh-oh meaning that he just knew that the register that he started down. The song that he couldn't
midway
get
midway through. Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
And the Rockets.
And, well, and then the other thing that struck me was Derek Coleman.
Yes.
Who's biting.
I'm watching it right now. It's amazing.
I'm just laughing. Oh my God!
What's remarkable?
The giggle fest.
So again, what I must tell you, it was extremely liberating for me because I was relatively new to television. I was, I've been at ESPN for 3 years, but basically, I was a radio guy.
Right.
I still am. And so, I completely lost it. I was as naked as a human being with clothes on could be. And I survived, and it was okay, and there was like a natural reaction to it. And then over the years, when I found things funny, because I was so liberated from that moment, I could laugh about Tanya Harding.
Oh, my God.
By the way. Mike Tyson, any of them.
The Tanya Harding, because that's the other giggle moment for you. And the Tanya Harding, because it was once you got divorced, right?
Right. They were,
and her ex got the tool.
Pickup truck, and she got the tool chair.
and you're like going through the divorce settlement. Yeah. Who got what? And she got to the...
She got the tool chest.
And you could...
And is that not funny? And so because of Carl Lewis,
I can't get it.
I could then.
Oh my God!
And Mitch Flood Green and the Haberdasher.
Oh,
and the other one was
right. Kerry Wood one.
Kerry
too.
Wood, yeah. His last known relief appearance when he got caught relieving himself, and he told the cop, "Not now, I'm not finished yet." So when you write that stuff, I mean, it's pure gold. And
it writes itself.
Yes. And so that is why they used to give me the kicker stories to end shows.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah.
Those are the days,
and so,
man.
The Kerry Wood thing was kind of fun because he was a rookie. He was a rookie sensation. And I have lost it over his last known relief appearance. He was a starter at the time. Show's over. I come back upstairs, and I get a call from Mark Grace. They're in Arizona, spring training.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, Gary's on the phone, like to talk to you. And all we did was laugh. He loved it, and we became friends over the years because
of that.
Yeah. Carl and I, not so much.
There was one moment Stuart and I were giggling, and we felt, like, we had license to finish the segment out that way because of you. And you kind of set the tone. And it was a highlight of a Q school competition. And the winners are going to obviously get their tour card. And it was, I don't know why, we hadn't seen the highlight yet. It was handed to us. It was a 1 in the morning, whatever, just right. Ended on the West Coast or something. And we hadn't seen it yet. And it was a golfer who was in shorts, which was just odd to see anyway. He had to have been pushing about 300 pounds, too. So you don't believe, this guy is a professional golfer in any way, or trying for his tour card. And the highlight was he kept missing a short gimme putt and wound up quadruple bogeying. And once he finally holed out, he grabbed the golf ball and with his other hand flipped the bird to the crowd. And we just didn't see that one coming. Right. And we just, both of us, giggled. And there were like four more shots on the shot sheet to finish out. And we couldn't get through it. Just couldn't get through it. And wound up just throw to break.
So you didn't see it coming. I saw it all day.
Well, and that might be part of why you found it so funny, is that it's all day and you thought like you were done.
I'm cool.
You're cool.
Yeah.
And then
You
weren't.
No.
I love
evidently.
That stuff.
Evidently. And it blows me away that 30 years, people still remember it and talk about it. It's crazy.
That's part of the reason why you're here too, Charlie. We're going down memory lane with Charlie Steiner right here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We'll take a break, come back, talk a little bit of Dodger baseball. And I know, you spent many, many years calling NFL games as well.
Yeah.
So any of your memories of championship weekend, Charlie Steiner is here on the Rich Eisen Show. And there is breaking news out of the NFL. We'll hit it. Oh, look at that shot right there on camera. Wow.
Hey.
Look at all of us. That's like the 1997 team photo right there. From
I was
Sports
so
Center.
Much older then. I'm younger than that now.
Nice.
This message is sponsored by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/online privacy protection. This is it. The putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. But on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software? To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. With visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more, NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time while staying well ahead of your competition. 93% of surveyed businesses increase their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. Over 28,000 businesses already use NetSuite. For the new year, NetSuite is a new financing program for those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/richpod. Head to netsuite.com/richpod for this special one-of-a-kind financing offer on the number one financial system for growing businesses. netsuite.com/richpod.
Back here on our radio show and on the Roku channel as well, Charlie Steiner is here. We just showed a photograph from 1997 and how being in the Sports Center heyday is such a... I cherish it that
it's,
I was there.
It's a foundation to what we went on to do and become. And again, I'd never had any inkling of ever being on television.
TV.
Yeah, never. But they were trying new stuff.
Right.
Because by 88, SportsCenter was really teetering. And they brought in, of course, John Walsh, the legendary editor, managing editor,
right.
And they...
Rolling Stone, right? And
Rolling Stone, Newsday, Washington Post.
Right.
Either that, he was really great or he couldn't hold a job. Hmm. Whatever it was, he was always at great places.
Yes.
But he was the mastermind behind that Sports Center. And they experimented. They brought in people that hadn't done it before.
There you are with Berman right up there in the old
school.
That's
when we did one of the commercials for the 60s.
That's right. Yeah. Right, a sports
and
center of the
Boomer
60s.
A like, very bad wig.
I just remember, again, when I walked in the door there, I was 26 in 1996, and I just remember walking in there, and it was everybody who I'd seen on television. And now you guys are automatically my colleagues, and I was blown away by that. And it was you, Bob Lee, and Robin Roberts doing the early Sports Center, the early evening Sports Center. I know you said it was 7 when the Carl Lewis stuff happened in 30 years ago. When I first arrived there, it was 6 o'clock Sports
Center. It varied from 6:30, 7.
It had kind of fixed at 6 o'clock when I walked in the door. And it was Dan and Keith and the Big Show.
Right.
And then the evening show, the 2 a.m. Sports Center, or 2:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. Sports Center, when I first arrived there,
was, you know, the spot where Kilbourne was doing his thing, right, and Brett Haber was there and Carl Ravitch.
Tirico?
Tirico had kind of already moved out and started doing other things.
All right.
And he would then come back every now and then. And I did a few sports centers with him. And Linda Cohn was doing a ton of shows. And then they hooked Stuart and I up together. And we kind of did that over and over again for 6 years.
What was so wonderful about it, and you and Stuart had it, Bob and Robin and I had it.
Yeah.
Bob and Robin are friends of mine to this day. And chemistry happens. You can't invent it. You can't create it. Either you have it or you don't. You guys had it. We had it.
Dan and Keith sure had it.
Yeah. It was sometime combustible chemistry.
but that is part of what I think also made it so great, is that on occasion we were skating on the edge.
Yes.
We were on the razor's edge.
You know what also, in retrospect, I think made that group happen when it did? The fact that we were in Bristol, Connecticut. Mm. There was nothing else. We were one another's families.
Yes.
Because there was nothing else to do. There was no place else to go. There were like two movie theaters within a country mile or country miles. And so we were this family, occasionally dysfunctional, but a family that, again, in retrospect, was far more talented than I ever gave it credit for when we were there.
And it also met a certain time, too, because I have given this a lot of thought. It was before, you know, these phones.
Absolutely.
And it was before, you know, the internet was, I'll be honest, I mean, I know I'm dating myself, but the internet was just getting started.
Yeah.
And
it was a non-factor at that point.
Correct. And I know management knew that this was going to be something they needed to mine, all right, and get, you know, ESPNGo.com going.
Right.
Right? Yeah. And they had their own phones too. But before all of that, people were still tuning into SportsCenter to see something maybe for the first time or for the only time after seeing it live, and we were there to tell them the story.
Watched our show, the early show, Bob and Robin and I, to find out what they had missed during the day.
Right.
They turned into Keith and Dan to watch the highlights of what had transpired, because again, there was not that wide panoply of games to watch, because there weren't. And so at least we were able to take in the video and edit them up. And then the late show was kind of a combination of the two. And I remember what a big deal it was when they started to re-air the 2:30. And the only reason they did that was in the morning at 8 a.m. there was Body by Jake.
That's right, Jake Steinfeld.
Yeah, who I see all the time.
Right.
And so they had those kinds of shows in the morning. And somebody went up to Steve Bornstein, who was the president of the network at the time, and said, what do we need this Body by Jake nonsense for? Why not some highlights? And with that, the re-airs began.
And then you started getting earlier and earlier, believe it or not, because Steve Bornstein wanted to have something to watch while he was doing his workouts in the
That's
morning.
Exactly,
and he had
right.
enough swing to say, hey, call up the programming department, put it on earlier and earlier.
And that's what they did.
Exactly. And I wound up, because I did those sports centers in the middle of the night and got re-aired throughout from 6 a.m. to 1 in the afternoon.
Right.
I had the most, even probably to this day, the most exposure of my career while I was asleep. Out like a light at 7 in the morning, 8 in the morning, 9 in the morning, and it was unreal. I still have people coming up to me today, Charlie, saying,
I woke up with you.
I went, or the one that really is the mind blower is I watched you and Stu before getting on the bus to go to school.
Oh.
I get that a lot, but I love it. You know, I know it, obviously it makes me feel older, but there's nothing like that. I mean, it's a connection that I don't know that I would love to replicate here every day, and I hope that I do, with people who take in the show and listen to it and watch it, that they feel like what we're saying is a wink and a nod to them.
Yes.
And if they don't get it, they know they might be missing out on something and want to.
And if they don't get it, you've humored yourself.
What did I say the other day to you? I'm like, at least I'm making myself laugh right here.
That's what it's all about.
And that's what it is. You know, and now, having been around for so long, you know, young broadcasters, we just hired Stephen Nelson to add to the TV crew. Talked to him the other day, and, you know, he grew up watching. I mean, really grew up. You know, he was preteen watching. And so, again, we were lucky. We were just at a time where ESPN and SportsCenter grew exponentially, and we were just on the rocket ship.
And having fun.
Yeah,
having
fun. And got away with it.
Charlie Starner here on the Rich Eisen Show. And you just mentioned, you know, Steve Nelson says, I used to watch you, and you could have said that same thing to Vin. I'm sure you did for all those years. You got a good Scully story? You got, I know that I'm asking to choose one here, but you got a good Vin story, Charlie?
I'll tell you what. When he passed away in August, it really hit me.
Yeah.
It hit me hard. He was really my second dad because he was the guy that I grew up wanting to be like. He was the guy that I listened to when I was 7 years old and they were the Brooklyn Dodgers. There are two things. One, Vin, like me, or me, like Vin, not comfortable in public settings. Just, you know, if he wants to get in, get out, and move on.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him about that once, and he said, it really, when I'm in a public setting, it's four B's. Oh, what are the four B's? Be there, be early, be seen, be gone. It works for me. And then somebody had asked me to write a book, 10, 12 years ago. And I was really, for the same reason, I just don't like that attention all that much. And I said, you never wrote a book. And why's that? And he said, it boils down to the three E's. Oh, and what are the three E's? I have neither the energy, the ego, or the economic need. I said, good. And so those pearls of wisdom that I was able to get amazing. From Vin over the years, things like that, he is embedded in me.
And I do, you know, miss him, and that has no, you know, nothing born out of just the old school that we'll never see again, I don't think. We'll never see. Will we ever see another broadcast where management says, we're going to blow off half of a commercial break just to have you come back, turn your back to the field, look at the camera, and tell a story? That's what we're going to do. And that's what he did. And it felt like we were talking about a connection that people have with a listener or a viewer. I mean, nobody had a bond quite like him with anybody that listened to him.
He was as comfortable in his own skin as anybody I've ever met. He had a presence, and, you know, there's so many things about which we were similar. There are many things we were different. He never, in a day in his life, wore a pair of blue jeans. Never once. I, of course, live in blue jeans. I got dressed up for you. I've got black jeans.
I appreciate that.
Today.
Otherwise, you're
more
forever
formal.
In blue jeans.
Yeah,
understood.
Good. Thank you, Neil. Diamond. And so he would look at me and my jeans and give me one of those. But it was almost a father-son wonderful relationship for which I was enormously lucky. You know, Monday, Rick Monday, me, Billy DeLury, who came over from Brooklyn with Vin. And the four of us would have lunch or dinner before every game.
Mm-hmm.
And mathematically, we had upwards of 1,000 dinners. The four of us, just talking about life and stuff and not always baseball. And so just being around him and watching how he conducted himself.
Mm-hmm.
He was just as comfortable in his own skin as anybody I've ever met.
Charlie Starner here. A few more minutes left with Charlie here in studio on the Rich Eisen Show. When does Charlie Starner and Catcher's Report, when does that happen?
They before me.
They before you?
They long before me.
Okay, so
they show up generally around Valentine's Day.
Okay, here we go.
Opening day
right
is,
around
I think,
the corner.
March 31st.
Right around the corner.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
But
the Padres seem to have joined this battle, Charlie.
They're good. They're good. Dodgers have some questions this year going.
What are your questions?
Who's playing second, short, third, left, and center?
Those are a lot of questions.
Who's closing? Mm-hmm. What does the rotation look like? Bring it on. But this is one of those, I think, years of transition. And we'll see how it plays out. Trey Turner is gone. Justin Turner is gone. A couple of the starters are gone.
Are they resetting their
it would appear.
Their luxury tax? Because Trey Turner, to me, is worth the money to go overspend on
Trey
him.
Trey Turner. I don't think he wanted to be here.
Is that it?
I think Trey Turner.
You want to beg back east?
Yeah.
Okay.
His wife is from New Jersey.
Okay.
He is from Virginia. And they were, and so Philadelphia just seemed to be the perfect landing spot for him. And again, all this money now, players can really make a decision more than ever about lifestyle rather than having to extend the extra dollar.
Uh-huh.
I think they just wanted to be on the East Coast. And by the way, they go to a real good team.
They sure do. They sure do. You're defending National League champion Philadelphia.
Boy, and they were fun down the stretch.
They were.
They were great.
I know. We haven't spoken about this yet. You're a perfect person to chop it up with. I don't know. I always am hesitant to complain about somebody making a Hall of Fame because it is such a remarkable personal journey capper mm-hmm. for that individual.
Sure.
But I never once watched Scott Rolen and thought to myself, that is a guy who's going to Cooperstown. Never.
I'm happy to say I'm on the other side.
Okay.
So I will tell you why.
Go for it.
Set all the numbers aside, the fact that he was a really solid, good third baseman.
Right.
September the 17th, 2001, 6 days after 9/11, I am assigned to do the first game back, the Phillies and the Braves at Veterans Stadium. And none of us were sure of the appropriateness of being there.
Of course.
What are we supposed to feel like? And I took the train down from New Haven to Philly, and I'm going through the tunnel and off to the left, what remained of the Twin Towers still smoldering. Get to Philly, I don't know, about 11 o'clock in the morning. And again, nobody was traveling to speak of. And get to the hotel, and then I just go to the ballpark. And I'm there about noon, 1 o'clock, and a bunch of players, they're not even dressed yet, they're just walking around. Everybody, it's suspended animation. Nobody knows quite how to feel. And so Scott and I are sitting in the stands behind the first base dugout, still in our street clothes, and asking each other, how do you feel? Should we even be here?
Right.
And nobody quite knew. There was nothing to base it on. And he said, I don't feel right, but we got to play. He had two home runs that night, and the Phillies won the game. To me, in that moment, as a human being,
yes,
he became a Hall of Famer. And then he had a very substantial career, and I was only 17, 18 third basemen have ever been inducted into the Hall of Fame, which was kind of a jarring number. But that day, I became a Scott Rolen fan for life. And whenever we see each other, we haven't.
Well, I mean, that it's a terrific story, a remarkable story. And yes, I see the wins above replacement statistics, that he's a top five wins above replacement. I don't know the war stuff either.
Yeah.
I just know, watching them, I thought he was a terrific baseball player, but I just did not think I was watching somebody who was generationally brilliant and is going to be in the same room as, Ruth Gehrig and what have
you. He was generationally consistent. He was really good.
But Hall of Fame, what I mean? And of course, I'm totally biased. I think Mattingly is a terrific ball player. Even I am understanding that he is a borderline, if not Hall of Fame player. But if Rolen and Harold Baines are in, then that's where I'm going with this. Yeah,
I think the precedent setter is Bill Mazeroski, who was a terrific defensive second baseman, period. But was he a Hall of Famer? Probably not.
Hit a great home run.
Yes, he did, and it cost me a dollar, and it cost me a week's allowance. when you got time for a story?
Sure.
I'll give you a story. So Mazeroski hits the home run. It's 1960. I'm 11 years old. And I was picked up every Thursday or whatever day it was by my piano teacher from Lindner Place School. And she was going to drive me to my house where my mom bought a piano so I could learn to play the piano, which I didn't want to do. And on this particular day, she picks me up. I said, can I have the day off? It's the seventh game of the World Series.
Yeah.
No. So I made a bet, a dollar, with a friend of mine, little Ronnie Held from down the street. A dollar was like, it's like 20 packs of baseball cards.
That's a lot of money.
I mean, that's a lot of dough. And I had the Yankees. So I'm playing on top of Old Smokey. Bum, bum, bum,
bum, bum, that, was, bum. That was your tune?
That's what I was working that day. I was Jerry Lee Lewis on top. So now, bum, 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 doorbell rings. Ronnie Held comes running into the house back in the day when you could run into other people's houses. The Pirates won. The Pirates won. Mazeroski hit a home run. That was long before walk-off. Mazeroski hit a home run. I knew two curse words. And my piano teacher got both of them at high volume. That was the end of my piano playing career. Fast forward now to the 80s, 90s, I meet Mazeroski for the first time.
Oh, this is great.
And I tell him he cost me 20 packs of baseball cards, a week's worth of allowance, because you hit the home run and I'm playing on top of Old Smokey. I meet him subsequent times. Every time I saw him, he would go, dun, 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 dun. So Mazeroski, for me, will never be a Hall of Famer. He cost me a dollar.
Charlie Steiner, you're the best, man. Thanks for coming in here. I'd love to have you every now and then if you just want to come here and hang out and just tell more stories.
I'm a lonely guy.
No, you're not. You're not at
Happy
all.
Happy to.
Good
you
to
know.
See you, Charlie
Thanks.
Steiner. Absolutely. The great Charlie Steiner here on the Rich Eisen Show. When we come back, we finally have a new head coach of the Panthers. We'll tell you who that is. Love that photograph right there. Fantastic.
Oh, look at that.
We're back on the Rich Eisen Show in a moment.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast, where each week we watch every episode of Smallville, a show that changed our lives forever and perhaps your lives too. I'm Michael Rosenbaum.
Hello, I am Tom Welling.
What was the sign off now?
Always remember Talkville.
That's it. Always hold on to Smallville, folks.
We love you. Couldn't do it without you. We've got a great season two coming up.
Catch up with season one or start season two on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Back here at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger is the right product for you. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. I love this. That was
He's
great.
So good. He's so good.
Story upon story upon story.
Oh,
isn't that great?
So good.
Yeah, Bill Mazeroski made him curse out his piano teacher and little Ronnie whatever he owed a dollar to, and then he gets to tell Bill Mazeroski this story. Sounds just like me with meeting Mattingly for the first time in Tiger
Donnie!
Stadium.
Donnie Baseball!
Embarrassing myself completely and then telling him, like, hey, you remember when I first met you? No, I don't. Okay, yeah. Great. No, I'm totally embarrassed.
Donnie Baseball! Chris Farley Show.
Remember that, Don? Remember? Everyone loves a tailgate party, right? Well, let me introduce you to my buddy, Emeril Lagasse, and his original Roku original series, Emeril Tailgates, right here on the Roku channel. Kicking everything up a notch on your favorite hometown recipes, cooking up the best menus for your postseason tailgates. New episodes every Thursday leading up to the big game, and it's free. That's right here on the Roku channel. So you can watch both this show on the Roku channel via Roku devices, the RokuChannel.com, the Roku app on your smartphone or Amazon Fire TV or select Samsung TVs. And you can also watch Emeril Tailgates and Emeril Tailgates the postseason on the Roku channel. Plus over 1,000 episodes of Classic Emeril on Live Channel 441. Don't miss it. Emeril Tailgates the postseason.
Bam.
Thank you, sir.
I love Emeril.
So do I. Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Frank Reich is the new head coach of the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, buddy.
He quarterbacked him in 95, by the way. And then when he was done with his playing career, he attended seminary in Charlotte. So this can be painted a bit as a homecoming in a way. Frank Reich, the new head coach. Hey, I thought Steve Wilkes did a pretty good, damn good job there. And it's just tough to be an interim head coach and get hired. Unless, of course, your name is Jeff Saturday. And he may have that job in Indianapolis, it seems. He's still a front runner. Look, I thought it was an impetuous firing to fire Frank Reich, to say the least. I mean, the guy knows how to coach. And he knows how to coach quarterbacks. And the question, first question for him is Sam Darnold, is that what you've been brought to do? Or are the Panthers going to go get somebody else and hook him up to Frank Reich and say, grow old together?
Tom Brady?
Carson Wentz is out there, right?
That's one guy that ain't going to Carolina. It's Carson Wentz. Good one. And you say Tom Brady? I don't think that's Brady's spot. I don't think that's Brady's spot. I mean, when you hire a new coach, it's just like, well, that's terrible. That's good. First of all, you never know. Any single time a new coach gets hired, I always think, well, retread this, retread that. Just remember when Joe Torre being hired in 1996 for the New York Yankees. Such a retread. They were printing championship rings there.
Bill Belichick.
Another one.
Yeah.
So Frank could be a perfect fit, and we'll see what happens. The question is, again, so is it Darnold or it's not? And if you liked Darnold and you thought he was actually doing well, I mean, and bless that kid, he hasn't had the same situation for back-to-back years probably since USC. So he's got Frank Reich coming in, and that would be a blessing for him, I would think. So
we got a Super Bowl winning quarterback just sitting on the bench and no one ever talks about. It's just ridiculous to me.
Who's that?
Nick Foles.
I don't think I. Okay. I don't think that's where he's going, but you can listen to the NFL and the NFL app on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. If it's the NFL, it's on Westwood One. So check that one spot off the list for Sean Payton. He's not going there.
I think Sean Payton's going back to Fox.
I think that's not.
I think he is too.
Didn't Breer say that yesterday?
Yeah, I think he is too.
Just smells like it.
Go hang out on Fox for another year. You'll be free of the New Orleans compensation that would be hanging over any team that might want you or you might want them and they're not willing to spend. And so the next spot you go to, you're hamstrung for the first round selection that's not yours anymore.
Right.
Or do you just wait it out, see if one of the Los Angeles gigs opens up or Dallas has finally run its course in its mind with McCarthy and you wind up there. Play golf out here in Los Angeles, live in Los Angeles, hang out on Fox, make that money, and do it again.
I mean, he loves it.
That's not a bad.
He likes doing it.
That's a good life, guys. That's a great life, it seems like.
It's a good life. He likes it. I mean, Sean.
What's not to like?
He's
good at it, too.
And he's really good at it, yeah. But, I mean, if these guys miss coaching. You know, Rich.
Can't get out of it. I know.
We'll never get it out of his head.
Well, but I
even miss many
but
years.
I think he's definitely going to go back to coaching. The question is, does he have to take one right now? Denver, you go there, it's a beautiful place to live, a beautiful place to go be a head coach. Yeah, but do you think Russell's the guy? Arizona, great place to be. Do you think Kyler's the guy? These are all questions that Sean Payton has to answer. And one thing that he doesn't have to answer is he going to Carolina because they went with Frank Reich? There you have it. Okay. We're just going to go back to our bread and butter to finish today's show.
Ankles?
Our bread and butter is we cover ankles unlike anybody else in the business.
Brilliant!
So we became a list show. Now we're an ankle show.
We're an ankle show.
We're an anatomy.
Top five ankles. Give me music.
Oh, no, an anatomy show.
Hold on, Rich.
There's only one ankle we're talking about today. No, it's not.
I was ready.
Patrick Mahomes. Remember I said earlier when he spoke today and we showed you those sound bites from today's press conference about his ankle? I said, will somebody take a video of his ankle?
Uh-oh.
Michelle Steele has done so.
Need video. Right.
Thank you, Michelle.
Here we go.
All right, here it is.
Okay.
Oh! That's on purpose.
Let's see it again.
Check it out.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, hold on a second.
Well,
he
hold
didn't,
on.
No, stop.
Hold on.
He didn't
hold
use on. The steps in front of him just yesterday. Yesterday, do you have yesterday's footage?
He jumped off the riser.
Yesterday's footage
that you used as proof that he had a hitch in his giddy up. He used the little steps. He used the steps there.
Step.
And he went out the door. And you're like, wait a minute. Yeah. The going down the little steps that you thought that was a hitch. And I thought, that looked like it flowed to me.
I saw a little
Today, he looks at those little steps and says, no. Here's the next part of my rehab. I'm going full step down off the riser onto his foot.
That is hurt.
Look at that. He used his left to his right. He landed on the bad ankle.
Land on the ankle. He uses his tippy toes to get down. Yeah, if you look, pressure goes
on the heel.
He's like favoring
that
ankle.
That's how he walks. Nobody puts their foot down.
He doesn't walk on his toes.
Guys, hold on a second.
That's ridiculous.
Show that to me one more time.
Yeah, go. Seriously, watch.
So you're saying his left foot isn't on his toes?
No, right foot. Right toes.
That's just him stepping down.
No. That's a normal step down.
No.
It's a normal step down.
Rich, these guys are wrong.
He doesn't put any weight on the actual ankle. It's all on the toes.
Yep. Yeah, he's like, he favored the toe.
I'm going to say this.
I don't know what he's talking about. What's he going to do, go heel first?
From today? This is practice footage from today? From today.
Come on.
James Palmer's on it again.
Let's go.
All right. Oh, this is a full skip now. He's showing off.
Skipping.
Oh, he's skipping.
Oh, a spin!
He hit the B button right there.
A spinorama.
He hit him with a burp. Come on.
He spun.
He knows he's on camera.
Yeah.
And he's now showing off. That's an FP. That's a full practice.
This guy.
And that's a BP, a Bengals problem.
That's a Bengals problem. That is a BP.
FP equals
a YP is your problem. And if that's a Bengals.
I'm fuzzy on these. What's these YP things?
All right.
Oh, my God.
Yesterday.
Who's the colonel?
Here's the deal. Yesterday, he took the little steps
down.
Who's
the colonel?
And he kind of eased his way into a skip at practice.
Yeah.
Today, he looks at those little steps and he's like, screw that.
Yeah.
I've got a full step down from the riser in me, and I'm going to land on the ankle. That's a problem. I'll show everybody. I don't need little steps. Little steps was so yesterday. Today's the big-ass riser step.
He said, F a step.
And then I'm going to practice. And I am going to spin around.
Skip.
I know James Palmer's on a max. What, he's on a 6X on his iPhone?
Oh, yeah.
He's going full 6X.
Zoom the whole way
in. Sitting in the rafters. And I'm going to spin around.
Also, he's going vertical. Come on, landscape. James, what are we doing?
So, in other words, yesterday was old cell service. Today, he's got his full new Einstein cell service, and he's left his bike behind.
Brilliant.
Thank you.
I thought we were going to go.
That is a brilliant analogy and analysis.
We'd make it one day.
Best ankle coverage in the business.
That's what we do.
This was so Saturday.
For over 40 years, Jim Ross has been the voice of wrestling. Nobody has stories like Jim Ross, and he shares his tales with co-host Conrad Thompson on Grilling JR.
Vince McMahon was the top heel in the Attitude Era. It was a fresh character. It was new. It was material that we had not seen or heard to that date. And we could have created a bigger or better heel.
No.
And we wanted to make more heels, and we tried to make more heels, and we did. But nothing compared to Vince.
The Grilling JR Podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.